I was going to say, hey, his name's Dr. Bling, but then I realized that he's Chinese and that's probably racist. That joke did not land.
Yeah.
Oh, racist. Oh, no laughs.
That joke was just...
Welcome back, everybody, to the Talk Shop. This is episode 8.
Hey.
It's Tom Mickelson joined by...
Corey Jamnick.
And I am, as always... the only real star.
Do you got a name? Mr. Real Star?
People already know. When you're the real star, you don't need to
anybody,
say
anybody name. Still here on episode 8 surely knows, right?
I'm Sam.
All right. What a rousing intro today.
All right, so I want to talk about the big one.
You're bringing
right
it
off,
up.
Right off the bat.
Let's get into it.
Right the
guy on the United flight.
Yeah.
Yeah, the now, doctor on the United flight.
Do you guys
flight.
Know the full story?
I know the version of the full story that I know.
The only video I saw was when he came back on the plane and he was like severely
concussed.
Wasn't
that insane?
Yeah.
So, flight from somewhere to Louisville. I don't remember where. Chicago to Louisville, I believe.
Starts out like a bad joke. So I was on a plane to Louisville.
And so I just found out the clarification today. So I heard they overbooked the flight. It happens. Whatever. People don't get on planes. Airlines hate to see empty seats. It's just a waste of money and time to have empty seats. So they try to predict how many people are not going to show up and then sell that many more tickets.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually overbooked. They wanted to get 4 other United Airline employees on the plane.
I didn't know that.
So they were booting paying customers for United employees.
So they could, here's the funny thing. So they could take a flight to a destination that's 5 hours away for a flight the next morning.
Yep.
Okay.
No, so just that's important because there's literally no reason.
And so they start doing the airline thing. They offer incentives. They go, hey, we'll give you $200 and put you up in a hotel for the night and get you on the next flight tomorrow.
I heard of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So no one's taking it. So they escalate it. It goes up to $400 and a night in a hotel, which isn't that much money for like a day of someone's life necessarily.
Have a job to get back to.
Yeah, if you're supposed to be back into work on Monday, you just can't take that.
I'm a little surprised no one took that, just because with the number of people on a plane, you think somebody
people.
Would just be like, I don't have to be today.
Here's, I don't know if you're going to bring this up, I'm sorry, but one person said they would do it for $1,400, and the airline laughed at them and said no.
Yeah, so, also, fun fact, according to a couple of witnesses that did an interview with the local news station, or the local newspaper, I should say, the doctor volunteered before they started involuntarily picking people. That guy volunteered to take one later that day, but they didn't have a flight later that day. They only had flights the next day. So then he said, no, sorry. So no one was taking it. They needed to boot 4 people. So they have the computer pick 4 random people. 3 people go, okay, shucks, whatever. They get off the plane. You still get compensated, by the way.
They don't just like...
No.
I didn't know that. I was worried about that.
No, this...
They just cuff them, throw them out on their bellies, on the tarmac.
If you get removed involuntarily, by the way, the compensation is more than what they offer you. It's 3 times what have you paid for the flight plus a hotel.
Okay.
That's
pretty good.
That's the United policy, which isn't that bad. But should you have to do it?
No.
No, absolutely not.
So
you paid for the ticket.
So
it's their fault they overbooked.
So this guy's like, nope, I'm not getting off the plane. I'm a doctor. I have patients to see at the hospital tomorrow. I can't get off this plane. I need to be home.
Yeah.
They get the, I don't remember if it was airport security or like air marshals or something.
They were in uniform, so they must have been airport security.
They get people with guns to come.
Airport police.
Yeah. They get people with guns to come and rip this guy out of his seat. The video is brutal. I don't know if you've seen it.
They beat the crap out of him.
I didn't see any video of them hitting him, but when they pulled him out of the seat, they smashed his face into the armrest and broke his nose.
Yeah.
Blood everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
He's like unconscious, dragging him down the aisle.
Literally unconscious. You're not exactly.
Yeah, no, this guy's unconscious.
They knocked this guy out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep.
And then they drag him off the plane. So at some point later, around 10 minutes later, and as you can imagine, the rest of the people in the plane are getting a bit angsty.
Can I just say something?
At this point.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
It's a real bummer that the most anybody would do, because I watched the video, is you hear people literally going, oh no, look what you did.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Yep.
It's like, how about you actually? Everybody's filming it.
Yeah.
Everybody whipped out their phone and filmed it, which good for him, because that doctor's about to be rich.
How many lawyers do you think woke up in the middle of the night with a throbbing erection?
They're like,
oh, injustice.
I sent a disturbance in the law.
It's as though $1,000,000,000,000,000 just screamed out.
So somehow the guy gets back on the plane. I mean, they weren't interested in arresting him. They just wanted him off the plane. So they get him off the plane.
Wow, good job. You did it.
They got him off the plane. The guy gets back on the plane. It's like out of a TV show, dude. His like glasses are crooked, blood on his face. His shirt's hiked up on one side. He doesn't even know. Like, he's just walking down the aisle going, I need to go home. I need to go home. I need to go home. Like,
he's in shock. He's yeah. probably had a concussion.
Absolutely, dude. And so then, after he gets off, there's so much blood on the plane. They have to get everybody else off the plane. And they spend like 2 hours cleaning it, getting everybody else back on the plane. And when it was all said and done, someone figured out that the United employees could have driven to Louisville.
Yep.
Where were they taken off from?
I don't remember. Okay. I think it was Chicago, but I'm not 100%. I know for sure they were going to Louisville.
How do you mess up that bad? How do you mess
that
up
that wasn't even
that
the biggest
bad.
Mess up, dude. Because later that day... A United spokesperson put out a statement saying that the passenger was being unruly and had to be removed for safety reasons.
What? Which is just, isn't there video evidence of this
yeah.
happening?
Yeah, like 40 different angles.
They forgot that they lived in the era of smartphones.
They're like, oh yeah, we can just we'll cover it up in the papers.
You know, it's some like 90-year-old from the 50s who doesn't understand.
Yeah. Like, don't worry, boys, we're going to spin this in our favor.
Calls in the guy with the derby and the little press card yeah, in his hand. Yeah. He's like, all right, I need you to write something down. This is on the record.
Call up the funny papers. They'll believe yep. whatever we tell them to.
And so then it gets even worse, because then the next morning...
He finds out, he's like, what? People had camcorders on the plane?
That can't be legal.
There was a news crew?
How did they fit 50 cameras? They're the size of buildings.
So the next day, the United CEO puts out a statement saying that they apologized for having to re-accommodate that passenger.
Re-accommodate, huh?
That's what he said. And then it got even worse when later, or earlier this afternoon, I should say, this is Tuesday. Earlier this afternoon, United employees leaked an internal memo from the CEO saying how like everything he like, don't worry about what he was saying. They have evidence that the guy was being belligerent and uncooperative and violent with police, and how like
how dare he go limp.
Yeah. he was running into that armrest anyways.
Yeah. Just to put this in perspective, this is like you go to the store, you order or go to a restaurant, you order a Coke.
Yep.
They come out and they say, hey, there's only 4 Cokes left. I'm sorry, we can't give you yours. You're like, no, I really want my Coke. And so they beat the shit out of you.
So they hit you with a bat.
I mean, can you imagine like being at a baseball game and employees of the stadium walk up and go, hey, you're sitting in our seats.
The guy, okay, this is the one thing that makes me the most angry.
Yeah.
Why? Okay, he said he was a doctor.
Yeah.
That's pretty important if you have patience to, like, go see.
Yeah, if you're going to beat the crap out of somebody that doesn't deserve it, at least make sure they're poor.
No, I'm just saying.
Or have no responsibility.
That's the American way.
Why didn't they just move on and, like, really try to get somebody else to go?
It depends on what their policy is, I guess. I mean, if the computer picks for 4 people, do those 4 people have to get off?
I'm sorry. I just thought something. United Airlines, 4 out of 5 doctors highly recommend.
The other one's unconscious, laying on the tarmac.
I've seen about 1 million United Airlines jokes in the past couple days. That one's really good. I haven't seen anyone do that one.
It popped into my head. I don't mean to interrupt, but I was just picturing like...
Ooh, boy.
That's pretty good. So...
And I laugh at my own joke because I'm just super
so
classy.
It is basically turned into, at this point, an international incident.
Well, I mean...
How do you mess up that badly? How do you mess up
How do you let it
that
escalate
badly?
That much? Like, you think as soon as like his face hit the armrest, they'd be like, all right, I think we've done a little too much here. We should backpedal maybe a little bit.
The situation has escalated.
Maybe we should just leave him in his seat, give him a Kleenex, and then we'll just
leave.
Yeah,
you'd think they would have tried to fix it. But they just went through. I mean, that's...
You gotta commit.
You gotta ram jam.
You gotta follow through.
Ram jam your way through.
You play basketball in high school, you gotta follow through your shots, man.
What a world. What I love is that they wouldn't pay somebody $1,400. The... Yeah. Is it a low? Is it too high to say billions of dollars that they're going to lose?
Like,
I mean,
legal
millions,
fees and
yeah.
sure. millions for absolute.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, settlements. They've lost millions already just in marketing and... stock value. And
so here's the thing, if they're gonna settle outside of court, mm-hmm. they'll probably have a clause where they have no admission of guilt. But how much money is that gonna cost?
Do you think that guy's gonna settle?
But see, that's what I'm saying. How much money would it take?
Do you think the guy has to settle?
No, he doesn't. He absolutely doesn't. But how much money do you think it would take to make him settle?
Oh, God. It depends if he cares or not. That's really all that matters. Because he's a guy with money.
Yeah.
So they're not going to like wait it out. They're not going to bide their time and wait for the guy to go broke and then like, swoop in at the end and give him half of what they might owe him.
You know, give him all of their value and then he opens his own airline.
Yeah.
You know, there's a super poor, like single mother of seven that was in the chair next to him. That's like, damn it. It's like missing the lottery by one number. Why couldn't they have broken my nose?
So, you know, this story took up altogether like 100 seconds of my life. But now, that's all it takes. The next time you go to book a flight, you're going to see United and you're going to be like,
I don't really want to run the risk of getting the crap kicked out of me. On the off chance a United employee has to take a trip to
They're going to have to change their rules in airport security. Is the people getting on United flights are allowed like metal knuckles.
Do you think this is the most expensive dice roll ever?
Maybe not.
Where
the, most.
The computer like flipped a coin.
It might turn out that way. Who knows?
I mean, I'm not a lawyer or a judge. I don't know what a normal amount of money would be. But I've seen people get tens of millions of dollars for less than this.
Yeah, you're not gonna. Like, it's not gonna be like a $1 or $2 million.
No.
And yeah, going back, he is already probably wealthy being a doctor, so he can already afford good lawyers.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
There's gonna be people beating down his door, working off the whatever the award is gonna be.
I just want to know if the security guys got fired.
Good question.
Like, there has to be a leader that was there. There has to be some kind of figurehead that was with the security team. That was like, this is our chance, boys.
Well, because shit rolls downhill, right?
Yeah.
What's the stopgap on the shit roll here?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Like,
it's got to be that guy, right?
I wonder how they're going to rebrand airport security.
They're going to
like take away the bulletproof vests and give them certifiable hug buttons.
The United Reaccommodators.
Just like Beanie Babies or something.
They have padded gloves so they can't knock people out even if they want to.
They're like full Disney mascots.
Hey, baby, get off the plane. No, they just tase them.
We're going to have a problem, buddy.
You saw what I did to that doctor, didn't you?
Good.
We're not messing around.
That's what they have to do. They have to go all out and just become the totalitarian airline.
They're all wearing biker leather. You're
right. Like just straight up Nazi-esque patches on their arms for United Airlines.
Better keep it in line. We'll kill a doctor. What will we do to you?
We're going
to
have a problem here.
Now the safest flight from terrorism. They punched well-meaning doctors. What are they going to do to us? That's how I would spin it. If I was in the PR, I'd be like, we care about your safety so much. We don't even care if you're a medical doctor trying to save your patient.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
We're too safe. That's how you do that. United Airlines, too safe.
I like to imagine the PR guy on Monday. You know, he comes in, drives to work, bit of traffic, you know, whatever. Maybe he got up. Maybe he slept in a little bit. He starts at 8. Maybe he got in at like 8:12 or something. Sits down with his coffee. How you doing, Jim? You might want to take a look.
Check anywhere on the internet.
Check your email.
Just open Google.
Oh, what's going on?
Drops the mug, head hits the desk.
It's like the beginning of Armageddon. If you've seen that movie.
Yeah.
Where he's like, the phone rings. He's like, if you're not a beautiful woman, I'm hanging up. Listen to this. Did we punch a doctor?
What happened?
Who paid for a flight? Why? We wanted our people on the plane.
I know how I can spin this. Maybe he was being belligerent. Maybe he wanted to be punched.
Maybe
in the
he
face.
Had a gun and was saying Allahu Akbar. I don't know.
We don't have any witnesses, right? Right? Friends, like, there's about 40 different camera angles on this.
Okay.
This is going to be tougher than I thought.
Oh, man.
I like to think that the doctor hated medicine, had regretted his life choices. Like,
and this is just like
he had to get back because he had a meeting with his boss where he was going to get fired.
Put his 2 weeks in.
He'd actually just like caused 3 wrongful deaths. He was actually like going to go and hang himself.
No one in this story is a hero.
No, because then this is like his ticket out. Like he's about to get fired and lose his entire life.
Yep.
His wife was already like packing her bags to leave him and he loved her very much.
Yeah.
he was practicing his noose tying.
You know what's funny about being in America, or being, I should say, being in any first world country? Having a company accidentally beat the shit out of you is the greatest thing that can ever happen.
As long as it's filmed.
Yeah, as long as there's evidence of it happening. Yeah.
Pretty soon, I guarantee you, United Airlines is going to have a no cell phone out pre takeoff. No, it's going to be like illegal to have cell phones.
I mean, they can't make it illegal. They can say, we'll kick you off the plane if you do it.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Then people are going to film you kicking people off the plane because
it can't get any worse for them.
Like, it's just going to be a spiral.
They just need to steer into it. They need to become like the bad guys in any good wrestling special.
I mean, this is rock bottom.
They need to get so bad that like it's like a cultural
He's
movement.
Lucky to still be alive, brother. We're about to body slam him right in the aisle.
Like, you know how you can go to restaurants that specialize in insulting you and it's supposed to be fun?
Yeah.
They just need to become that.
I would probably do that, actually.
You have to get, and like they hand you a mouth guard as you walk in. Just like, you might take a few punches.
You get a shirt, I survived United Airlines.
Do you want us to take those glasses or you really want to leave those on?
I mean,
no cell phones. I'm telling you, steer into it. That's all they got. Become like a theme park in the sky, a fight club.
They'd probably be selling more tickets than they are right now.
Recommended by 4 out of 5 doctors. I think we just solved United Airlines'
problem.
Yeah,
we got this.
I really hope that they hear this.
Yeah, United, if you're listening, send the check to us. I'm not going to say my address. You could figure it out, probably.
Just drop it off a plane. We don't want you to sponsor us.
No.
We're not comfortable associating with your brand.
We don't need that kind of PR already affecting our small little podcast. Just the money's fine. You can take the idea. That's fine. That's yours. It's yours now. You can have that.
Can we write that off as charity, that idea?
Yeah. So we don't have to pay taxes on any of the money we get for it.
Any of the money we make for anything.
Ever again.
Free money for the year.
That's how taxes work, right? The government will be okay with that.
So I found out something really interesting today.
Go for it.
It turns out that my dad listens to us.
All right.
Does like religiously.
Really? Hello, Mr. Center. How are you doing?
My sister told me. Because he has a girlfriend that lives like near Milwaukee. I'm not sure exactly where. And so he drives to see her all the time. And I guess he listens to like every episode. You want to talk about something that makes your butt clench real fast.
When you hear that.
I'm like, oh man, what have I been saying?
Yeah, I was going to say you like going through the Rolodex in your mind. Like, oh, I said
that.
I already knew about this.
The lighter thing.
Yeah, we used to walk in on him doing that. We didn't talk about
it. We just let him do it.
So hi, Dad. I hope. I'm not going to, I almost want to re-listen to every episode just to see.
Just to make sure. You go, the next Thanksgiving or something, you have all the context.
Thanks for listening. It's really nice that you do. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I'll understand if I'm written out of any inheritance. I think sometimes he drives with just big, like, plate-sized eyes, and it's just like, what have I wrought upon this world?
I created this.
There was a time I thought he was going to be something.
It was a while ago, but
he's like, I remember when I held him in my arms and saw the potential to be anything, and now he talks about lighting his pubes on fire.
On the internet. For virtually anybody to download if they want it.
And for nothing in return.
Yeah, he's not even making money off of it.
Yet.
It's a very serious matter, and I will not laugh for more than 2 seconds about us making money.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
We're going to be...
Any day now.
Visualize it.
I see it.
I read The Secret. Just cover to cover.
At this point, the best chance we have of making money is if we get on a United Airlines flight.
Oh, we should get everybody... Actually, this is the perfect idea. You get on the plane. You get everybody to like form an agreement. And then you provoke them, but they don't film it. And they only start filming it once you're getting the crap kicked out of you by... Because they already got bad PR. So people are just going to believe
that... I've got it. No, dude, this is genius. You go to the airport and you find one higher up United Airlines person when you're walking on your plane and you go, I just want you to know I'm going to blow us all up and kill everyone on the plane. And then you get in there and you like put on your nice reading glasses and put a book that like says Why I Love America. And you just sit there when security comes in, you go, wait, hello, good says, what seems to be the problem?
I'm a doctor.
And then they beat the crap out of you and get you off the plane to save the lives. And the only person that witnessed it is a United Airlines employee who's going to lie for the company.
I swear, he said it. He told me.
The problem with that plan...
You're like wearing a big American flag t-shirt.
The problem with that plan is that it's high risk and... It's high reward and high risk. Because if it works, you're a millionaire. But if it doesn't work, you're going to prison.
For a very long time.
For like decades.
Gitmo.
They would see on the video where you leaned in and whispered. You'd have to really do some pre-planning to make sure that there was like no record. And even then you could be like, I told her she had a nice shirt and she shot me down for a date. What?
Guess she really took it personally.
Yeah. I asked her if she wanted to join the Mile High Club. That's how I roll. I always ask.
Sexual assault, maybe? Terrorism? Nah.
That's a stretch, I think.
Yeah. Is sexual terrorism a thing?
Probably.
That sounds if not, awful. It should be.
Let's find out.
That's I think Bill Clinton line. Was researching that when he was in office. I love bombs, but could we do something with my junk? Terrible Bill Clinton impersonation.
That was really bad. I'm.
Can you do Bill Clinton, Tom?
I can't, no.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe if I listen to a bunch of Bill Clinton speeches in a row.
Let's take a break.
Come back.
We'll be back after these messages.
Yeah. Here's a word from our sponsors.
All right, Sam, you came with a list of topics.
I did. I prepared for this week.
All right.
Tomorrow I'm finding out what my child's going to be.
Is it a lizard?
I'm leaning towards arsonist.
What if they can actually tell way more than we think they can tell? That they're just not telling us.
They can tell, like, they can see its future. They're like, he becomes a middle school teacher. It's a very noble profession. He never wows you, but he does all right.
I think we'll go for the abortion.
He has a weird obsession with fire, though. I don't know where he's going to get that from.
But it's getting to the point where the pregnancy is getting very real for me. Like, it's like, oh, I'm going to have a child, which is just really weird. Mm-hmm. I'm not so young and stupid that it's like just something that I have to adapt to and deal with. I'm old enough to reflect on it and realize
I'm old
means.
Enough to be set in my ways and not change anything.
But I, because I've been thinking about it so much, pregnancy is like a horror movie.
Yeah.
To the extreme.
Yeah.
And, like, you actually, I want to tell you a premise.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a large creature that pins a smaller one underneath it, forces its DNA inside, that becomes a parasite that eats away at its host for 9 months before shooting its entire 9 to 10 pound body out of a hole that's not made for anything bigger than, like, you know, a carrot.
Speak for yourself.
A big carrot, okay?
Just came out of the ground.
A respectable carrot.
Not peeled.
And it looks like the thing that pinned, it's like a replication. It's like, it's just forcing like this thing to get big and sweaty and force your own DNA out of it so that it can be raised.
You're using the word force a lot here. Is that how it went down?
Anything?
You want to talk about this?
I make it sound more violent, but I was just, you know, I've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, you picture like John Carpenter's The Thing.
I mean, it's basically like Alien, but the stomach instead of the chest.
I mean, the only thing that makes it okay is the fact that at some point she went, yeah, all right.
Presumably.
I can guarantee it.
All right.
A very big carrot.
Again, not peeled.
There's no problem. Trust me. Look at my hands.
Oh, that reminds me. Do you see what Sean Spicer said today? Trump's press secretary. Good?
Did I?
He said something along the lines of, at least Hitler never stooped so low as to use chemical weapons.
Oh, I did see that.
All right.
Talking about Assad in Syria, yep. I'm assuming.
He just needs to stop talking.
They all need to stop talking.
How hard is it to just not be retarded?
I was talking with somebody at school about this. Why isn't there just a one-person intermediary between Trump's phone and himself? Like,
you know,
just
they
one
tried
person.
That. They tried that. They took away his Twitter password. And that was the famous Hillary Clinton, or no, it was Obama. Mm-hmm. He said, if we can't trust him with a Twitter password, why would we trust him with nuclear codes?
Yep. Which
made really good sense to me. Not the rest of the country.
They should probably try to do that again, maybe.
Can I just say it's hilarious seeing people at this point dig in and support Trump?
Like just this, double down?
To this
is it
day,
even doubling down?
Yeah.
Like quintupling down?
To this day, the biggest defense I hear is, well, I'm still sick of politicians. I hate professional politicians. And I'm like, yeah, when your house is burning down, the last thing you want is professional firefighters.
I want basement savers.
You know what? But here's the deal. I don't like Trump. But I actually do support the missile strike in Syria. I'll give him a cookie. I don't think that he did it for any other motivation.
You know what I was thinking? How do you think the Syrians felt? They're just all sitting around chilling, and then all of the Russians just leave.
Well, you're crazy.
You're just sitting around having a smoke.
Hey,
you look,
Vlad. Where are you going,
Vladimir?
Russian meeting.
Him and all of his buddies. They're just like, they're not running, but they're doing like the fast walk.
I have to go to Kremlin for the meeting. Late. Got to go.
Yearly tea party.
Nah, man, you're crazy if you don't think Russia tipped. The whole thing was
of course, a
PR stunt. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be real. But I'm glad we did it. I mean, at the very least, it's because Trump's whole thing when he got elected was we're going to stop looking at anything else in the world and we're just going to turn inward and we're going to focus on ourselves.
Except for this one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he had no idea the job that he was walking into.
Yeah.
In his mind, when he was doing that, he thought that that was a completely plausible thing to do.
It's kind of, and it happens to Democrats and Republicans because we live in a world of politics where no one is willing to kind of leave the door open for future endeavors, for like a future like change of mind, because that's the position that the other side has, and you can't share any positions with what the other side has.
Yep.
And so you wind up making all these concrete statements that are like going to get engraved on your tombstone, and in future change of circumstances, you can't change your mind because it's just going to get thrown back in your face again. So if he would have said, oh, I don't think it's the right idea right now, but maybe in the future something will change, bases are covered. But then no one likes it when people say that.
Then it's you won't stand for anything. You're too
absolutely
flippy floppy.
Like diplomatic is like noodle spined or something.
It's almost like we should have more than two parties running for the leader of our country at any given time so that there could be multiple opinions.
Hey,
yeah.
Gare Bear. He ran. What did he get? 2%?
I mean,
what I loved about it was on the presidential, like the official presidential form, was that there are all these things, and I don't know the name by it, but there was one that was just the legalized marijuana now party. Like it was names, and then underneath it, where it usually says Republican or Democrat, it was just legalized marijuana now in all capitals.
I love the idea. Like, imagine that president, day one, gets in, appoints a new head of the DEA, signs an executive order, weed is now legal federally, and then he's just like,
we're done.
4 more years, what are we doing? We only ran on the one thing.
But wait, we can make it illegal and then legalize it again after 4 years.
What's the Secretary of State do again?
Dude, after pot's legal, we just spend the next 4 years chilling. We dig out some Led Zeppelin albums.
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
That was a guitar solo.
I
have become comfortably numb. On loop for the 4 years.
Free tie-dye shirts for everyone.
My hands felt like two balloons. That's the America I want. I should have voted for them. That's actually, comparatively, this is sounding great. It's like China, how there's that big pollution fog over China. We have that, but it's just pot smoke. Mexico gets a contact high.
the smog in LA, it's all gone. It's just smoke.
Blows across the
pot
sea.
Pot smoke.
We get invaded because like we're left open, but when the invading party lands, they're like, I don't feel like it anymore. You guys got Doritos?
They got this
sick. I'm kind of hungry.
They got to quit the setup.
Pull up a couch. Let's watch Rick and Morty. I'm digging the vibe of this country, man.
This was a good idea. Anyhow.
The aliens come because they think we're in trouble.
It's over now.
I want to keep going. No, it's done.
Then Jesus comes back. Then the world ends. Then a new world begins. Then.
So thanks for tuning in this week.
I'm trying to figure out which knob is Tom's mic. Turn it off.
I'll never tell you.
But speaking of body horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I
was just thinking about that.
I had a really sad moment in the gym the other day. This was a real sad moment. I was on the elliptical doing my cardio thing because I'm trying
ellipticking away.
Yep. Just because it's the manliest of all cardio is
absolutely
is the elliptical that prevents all impact to your feet and is nice and soft on your legs. And there's this guy at the gym and I go with my, I call him my brother. It's a family. Like he is my sister's husband's younger brother, but we've known each other since we were young. So we just, basically call each other family. Mm-hmm. We're there, we're doing that, and there's this guy that is always there at the gym, and we call him Mr. Steal Your Girl, and he's just super big guy. Actually, he's not really super big, but he works out a lot. You know, he's one of those. Mm. But he's always at the gym, and his only purpose at the gym is, he's so creepy. Like, this is not okay. is he gets behind any girl that's working out alone and starts giving her like tips. Like, hey, you know, if you want to be super ripped, you need to be lifting this way. And then he eases that, and then he hangs on them for the rest of the night.
You know, you should be wearing clothes when you're working out.
That sounds awful. You should
really be naked for this.
It makes, like, some... I
that guy is the reason that tons of people don't go to the gym.
Yeah. And it's why feminism exists. Like, this. But what's so weird about it is that the girls love it. I wish I could tell you that, like, they turn him down. They fall for it every time. And... it's tons of different girls, very attractive women. And inevitably, by the end of the night, he's like doing that thing where he's leaning against their leg, like while she's laying down, like stretching her out, like basically dry humping her.
Yeah.
Inevitably. I've been there enough times to see this progression. You know, it starts out with like, hey, you know, and like he's flexing. You know, if you really want to do like, he's like, I'm a professional body lifter. And the way you do it is, you know, you need to curl this way. And he starts giving little tips and they love that. And they start asking questions. And then he starts talking to him about like how he has a really nice sound system at home. And like, I'm not kidding. I've watched this happen a million times.
Yeah, he's like, I got a record player and some speakers.
No, it's always like, you got to come watch Interstellar. You would not believe how good it looks, how it sounds on my sound system.
Oh my God.
And then that progresses to, let's go downstairs. I'll stretch you out. You know, we'll talk about diet.
Like, does he wink a lot with every phrase he says?
We'll stretch you out, wink.
But then you go downstairs because we do some exercise down there, and he's like dry humping them there, and then they leave together. I don't know if they go home together, but they leave at the same time.
Presumably he, every once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
I
assume the success rate is unreasonably high. And as long as the girls like don't feel pressured and they're having a good time, I don't care.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, if you're young and you're healthy and you're getting in better shape, you're going to activate some hormones. It's okay to want to act those out. That's not my problem. My problem is that I overheard him talking to a girl who'd come as a transfer student from Russia. Mm-hmm. And he was bugging her like he does everybody. And he was like, so what's more important to you, like muscles or hair? And he's like, do you care? Like. He's like, because, and this is what I heard. These were exact words. He's like that guy over on the elliptical, he's got pretty big arms and a nice chest, but he's bald.
What the?
I'm not kidding. And he didn't know that I could hear him. Like,
he just turned it like slowly.
Obviously, he doesn't know.
Ice cold gaze.
No, I listened to him. And she was like, oh, hair definitely. Hair definitely matters more.
Oh, no.
And like, I've known that I'm going bald for a long time. It's not like an easy thing, but I'm married. I'm having a kid. I have a career. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. I didn't really want to go bald, but like it was the first time it was like a pick right through my chest that like for a huge percentage of the female population, the young and attractive female population, I now just have an automatic big red strike against me that makes me completely like unattractive.
That's a bummer.
I've made peace with it because again, I have things going my way, but I mean, like God forbid something happened to Becca, like where would my self-esteem be? And it goes back like when I was a teenager, I had really bad acne, like terrible like this. And it's just nasty acne that couldn't just be.
Right now your dad's listening. He's like, yep.
Yeah. He's like, I wanted to do the Spartan thing where I threw you off a cliff, but your mom made me keep you. I knew right away. No, but, my biggest memory of the acne that I had when I was a teenager was that I went into Target when I was like 14 to buy an Xbox, and I had such terrible pockmarks on my face and people were staring because people noticed. Like, it was beyond reasonable. Maybe I exaggerated it in my head, but I remember I felt like people were staring at me at least. Mm-hmm. So I started limping. So in the hopes that maybe people would think I'd been in a car crash that had messed up my face. And that was like my hope. But the thing about that is you can have acne and you know it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. You know that one day your skin's going to get better and you know you'll be more attractive than you are at that moment. The sad thing about balding is that's not changing.
Scalp tats. Just tattoo the hair on.
Yeah. Just
get like a sweet line going. Perfectly at perfect edge.
But it was just a weird moment. Like yeah, you can talk yourself out of thinking anything. Like you can, if you don't think you look good with glasses, you can be like, "Oh, I'll get contacts." Or, you know, if you're getting a little heavy, you can be like, oh, I'll go on a diet. I'll lose some weight. There's nothing I can do about my hair. And having like this very it was a weird moment. Having this very, very pretty girl be like, oh, I wouldn't date him.
She was Russian, though. So who cares?
Yeah, no kidding.
They're European, man. They're in all kinds of crazy stuff.
But Russian? Probably drunk. Probably didn't even know what she was saying.
Yeah. She was an alcoholic for sure.
I'll just have to get a big orange wig and pretend that I'm Trump. Russians can't resist that.
Putin's bald.
He like wrestled bears or whatever.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that was just for her. Like, I remind her of her oppressive
Or maybe she picked up on the vibe that the guy was really trying to get her to say that she preferred hair.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to make him uncomfortable, so she just went with it.
I don't know, though.
Did that...
Just going back. What a dickhole, what a actually.
Tool. Oh, I know. He's a terrible human being.
What? Come on, man. Did you let on in any way that you could hear him?
No. There's, like, no reason to. I don't want to fight.
You should have just, on the way out, hey, nice hair, man.
Hey.
I'm too old to be fighting. I mean, it's not going to... I have nothing to prove.
Yeah.
Like, my ego... It took a little while for it to sink in, actually, because my ego right away was at first was like, oh, I'm his example of a big muscular guy. And so I was, like, whistling Dixie the whole way, and then suddenly I was like, wait a minute.
Jeez.
That got sadder than I meant. It was supposed to be, like, a funny story, and now I'm getting, like... Like, I may as well have just told you guys I have cancer the way you're looking at me.
Do you have cancer?
No.
That'd be a less sad
I have
story.
Mono. Here's a conclusion to last week's story.
Good lord.
Last week, I mentioned that we didn't know what was going on with my throat and everything. Turns out that it wasn't strep, it wasn't anything. It was mono.
But no, it wasn't really mono, because mono was just opportunistic because Sam has football nights.
So
this is going to be the last podcast.
But it was a small cancer scare.
Really?
Because I actually tested negative for mono. They did the initial blood test and I tested negative. And I had to go home and wait for the doctor to call and tell me that. And she did like the... She's like, okay, so...
Oh, God.
She's like, you have something on your throat. There's no denying that. If it's not mono, I don't know what it is. You need to go see an ear, nose, and throat specialist because it could be something very serious. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like not going to cry about it. I'm like, okay, let's not jump to the worst case scenario. Maybe I just swallowed a nail in my sleep. I don't know.
A nail?
The average human swallows.
Maybe Becca's dropping nails into my throat. I snore. I know that I snore terribly. Maybe she's just like...
It's the nail. It all goes back to the nail.
This'll get him.
Driven to the point of insanity. She's like, I'm going to make him tear his own throat out. I don't know. But she hangs up. And so I was sitting there and for about an hour after that, it slowly sinks in. You're like, wait, is this it?
Yeah. Is this the moment that I'll be thinking of in 3 years?
Is this where it begins? And then she calls back an hour later and she goes, oh, never mind, it is mono.
No, that was someone else. They have cancer.
No, she said they did a follow-up for the root cause of mono, which is Epstein-Barr. Mm-hmm. And I have that.
Isn't she an actress?
What's that?
I'm kidding.
I thought that was like a law school or something.
Yeah, it is. It was named after it.
Everybody gets mono, the first thing.
Going mono a mono. But anyway, mono sucks. Don't get it.
Gotcha.
Are you 100% now?
I'm feeling way better today than I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Waka waka.
All right. What are topics, boys?
What else I got? I've got more.
You started a new job.
I did. I started a new job yesterday.
How's that going?
I really like it so far. The atmosphere is great. It looks like, from all appearances, it looks like it took all the parts I love about nursing and cut away all the parts I don't like.
Neat.
So far, it looks like something I'll really enjoy. And they're kind of teasing a full-time job for me. And by teasing, I mean they've pretty much said that if I want it, I can have it.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually want to get some floor experience, make sure that that's what I want before I leave my current position.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, I mean, I was sitting there joking around with two of the people in leadership positions today. And I mean, we were crying. We were laughing so hard getting along. And I've talked to all the other employees and it's kind of like a really cool rapport. So I'm optimistic.
That's pretty cool.
It's always hard to say. I mean, basically what I've done to this point is computer training. Like, you know, where you sit down, you see the really terrible corporate videos where they're like, loyalty, leadership, compassion. These
sexual
are the
harassment.
You have to watch the corny videos where they're like, hey, Sally.
Dude, we do yearly training at my job, like yearly, like corporate, whatever. There was an active shooter one. And it was like a little mini like text adventure game almost, because they would show you a picture. It's like, you do the same one?
No, but you just reminded me of the greatest thing ever. Go on.
Okay. So they just show you a picture of like some cubicles and they go, you hear a gunshot and screaming. And then there's like three things you can do. And you click on the one. And if you click on the wrong one, the picture is just like a gun in your face. And they go, you died. And then you have to go back to the beginning and start over again.
It's a game.
And The things, it's pretty...
Sit and continue work. It was probably just firecrackers.
Some of the correct, quote-unquote, answers were pretty debatable.
Jump out the window. I know it's five stories.
There was one specific point about leaving a coworker behind to bleed out to save yourself. I'm not making that up at all.
So they're not going for the heroism award.
No, not really. Yeah, that thing was brutal, dude. It was just trial and error because those training videos, they suck so much because it's basically just like a PowerPoint, but you can't skip through the slides.
Oh yeah, I know, they're terrible.
So I basically just tab out of them.
Yeah,
and then at the end there's like a 3-question quiz, multiple choice, and if you get them wrong, they just give you the same three questions in a different order.
And then they tell you the right, or the ones I did, they showed you the right answer once you click the wrong one, and then you can just start at the beginning and click
Yep. So you're never doing it more than twice.
Yeah.
So you don't actually have to pay attention to the training. It doesn't actually matter.
Yeah.
But that got us all off guard.
I just remember doing the sexual harassment one at when I worked at a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And like... they get pretty vague with, like, some of the things.
Yeah.
Like, some of it's, like, overt, like, hey, Jenny, nice ass. And it's like, is this acceptable? Yes. But sometimes it's like, you glance over at Jenny. She glances away. Is this acceptable?
No. All right, Sam, you were reminded of something?
Yeah. In the Army, we had the suicide rate was out of control. We had, like, three people. We had, like, three people kill themselves in our barracks.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
And fun fact about that, I had a girl staying over in my room. One of the days somebody killed themselves and a fire alarm goes off when that happens. And without knowing what it was, because I didn't want to be caught with a girl in my barracks, I had a cat that I wasn't supposed to have.
How bad is that, by the way?
It's expected.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been written up and probably punished, but it's not like it would have ended my career.
Yeah. Okay.
But I didn't want to be caught. So just with a fire alarm going off, I threw her and this cat that I had in a closet and closed the door and locked my room and ran outside. I was like, I'll text you if it's really a fire. But I found out later, like, she was sitting there waiting for any kind of news, like trying to smell smoke. She was like touching the door handle to see if it's getting
hot. My God.
She didn't know if I locked her in fire.
What is your problem?
And nobody get outside and they're like, we've just had a suicide. Let's have a 30-minute moment of silence.
No, we ended up being outside for like 2 hours and I couldn't use my phone.
Oh,
so she was there the whole time.
Come on, man.
Firefighters running around.
You think she would have just like walked out and been like, I was just with that guy. That one in the line right there.
I mean, presumably once you're not in the same building as her, she can just leave.
To be fair, it was all chargeable hours.
Hey.
Kept the meter running.
It's all miles on the track. But anyway, so we had a bunch of suicides, so we had to get together for a big don't kill yourself briefing. Mm-hmm. And it had the most elaborate
they had that in quotations. Don't kill yourself briefing.
And a general came, it was a big deal, but we had to do one of those really long choose your own adventure.
Is it a really big deal when a general comes?
I mean, when he's talking directly to the troops.
Wait, you had to do that for suicide?
Yeah.
So, like, what was it like, you really want to kill yourself? What do you do?
Dude, I'm going to set this up. It was like what you're describing as a big choose-your-own-adventure thing.
Yeah.
It started out like, oh, Tommy, he has his fiance and everything's great. Uh-oh, deployment orders.
Suicide. Suicide, suicide, suicide. Mash that button. Hit it over and over again.
Do a flip.
So he goes and he deploys.
Yeah.
And everything's going okay. It's war. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But the acting was really bad, which I wish that I could properly emulate it. But
this was a video.
Oh, it was a video that was playing and everyone's really would pause. See this. It'd pause and you'd have to choose or you'd talk about what you would do next. Like what was right and what was wrong.
Kill yourself.
And there was like a 4-point choice and we were supposed to choose, but we didn't have the technology to do that. So the general just kind of said, here's what you would do.
Don't kill yourself.
But the acting was so great. Like a lieutenant would be coming through the line before a hardcore combat mission. And he'd be like, you guys look like some soup sandwiches.
Kill yourself. And I can't stand any insults.
And they tried to swear, but it was like when your parents are trying to show you that they're cool by swearing. It was like that really winky-winky, like, we know how you think. You use PG-13 language. So like the soldier would be like, man, lieutenant's riding my ass.
I wish he would just go to hell.
Looking to make sure it's still okay. Baby's first swear words, but
triple reading the teleprompter to make sure he's not misreading it.
They're just writing him up as he's filming the scene.
But it goes on for like an hour before it actually gets to anything. Like, he's there, and slowly his fiance stops talking to him, and then his best friend at home stops talking to him, and then one day all the money's out of his account, and he calls, and he's like, Jenny, what's going on? She's like, I'm pregnant with your best friend's baby, and I'm leaving you.
Kill self.
So then he's really sad.
Yeah.
And it goes through, like, he's messing up on missions, and his platoon sergeant talks to him. And he gets help, and then he becomes really like best friends with a guy, and they're like playing hoops, and they're like, "I love you, Charlie. You're like a brother to me." And then they go on a mission, and his best friend gets shot. Oh. In the head.
Got him. Oh. Prank.
So then he's sitting there with a picture of his best friend and his ex fiance, and that's when it was one of those like, "What should you do now?
Kill yourself."
So then he's getting over that, and
it gets worse.
He gets close to another person.
It gets everybody in his unit one by one. He's like, let's be best pals. Everyone's like, no, man, anybody you like stay ends away. Up dying. I don't
and then that
talk
person
to you.
Dies. Then he goes back and he checks his bank account, and they're completely empty. His ex-fiance, who had access to his credit card, drained all his funds. So then it keeps adding. It's almost like it's satirical, because then he's sitting there, and on his dresser, there's the picture of his ex-fiance and his one friend that died, and he's holding the picture of the new friend that died.
And a bank statement. It's just like everything's hanging on the walls.
But it was great, because like when he went to chill out, he'd like go play Halo. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, just let it out by playing some Halo, bro. And he'd be like, hell yes.
Let me crush this Mountain Dew.
And then he starts getting super violent on missions and like taking irrational risks.
Teabagging the grunts on Halo. Everybody saw the warning signs. Bill, are you sure you should be doing that?
But they don't care anymore. But there was one thing that was awesome, because eventually, you know, if you do the path right, he goes and gets help. Mm-hmm. And he comes back, and his fellow soldiers are making fun of him for sitting on a mission to go get psychiatric help. They're like, hey, man, you just been sitting back taking it easy? And, like, the video ends on this. He, like, looks up at them and he goes, yeah, I've been taking it easy with your mom. And then and then everybody at the table laughs. They're like, ha, 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 ha. Freeze. And it freezes.
We should reshoot this.
God. Scene for scene. And they're like, don't worry. In time, your squad will accept you back. And that was the end.
Do they ever have like an elderly like neighbor man who like sits down with them? He's like, you know, Billy, when I was your age, all my friends killed themselves.
No, it was like the platoon sergeant was that character. What I did love was like his sergeant was like a dick to him. Mm-hmm. Like, he does go and ask for help. He's like, I'm feeling really bad. And the sergeant's like, tough through it. And it takes the platoon sergeant to actually come through and help him. It was a great video.
Sounds
and
like
you reminded me of it.
That sounds magical.
But it was just the time he was so, you're ma. He may as well have like looked at the camera and winked.
You think that it's on YouTube somewhere?
I don't know. I just realized I never let that girl out of the closet. That's kind of where my brain's been. Somebody needs to feed her.
She's probably just in the army now, right? Like, well, if you stay in the closet long enough, you're just a part of the army.
She's just accepted it. That's actually the coolest legend I've ever heard. This isn't funny. This is just the coolest legend I've ever heard. Was back in Vietnam, there was a guy who was separated from the love of his life to go out to war. So he saved tons of money, and he used back channels to get her to come over there with him to Vietnam. And super illegal, but, you know, it was Vietnam. Crazy things were happening in the 60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's over there and she's living with him and things are great. But there's then special forces, like this is like the hardcore special forces days. One of the special forces units came and was camped outside of their camp. And, you know, they're very good looking, cool guys, and they're very fun. She starts looking at them and starts kind of hanging out with them every once in a while. It's very subtle at first, like a card game here, but she starts spending more and more time with them. Mm-hmm. Eventually she starts going on missions with him. With them, with
that
the,
escalates
with the Green
pretty
Berets.
Quickly from
it's
games.
Over like the period of a long time.
Okay,
Like, she says that she wants, it starts out like, hey, I just want to go take, you know, a walk, see the jungle. I'm always stuck on this camp. So they escort her, and then, you know, they probably get ambushed, and she carries herself well. So they're like, hey, you want to start coming out with us? And their her poor cuck boyfriend just...
I wish I was in Special Forces.
Should have gone Special Forces, not mechanic. But he starts worrying about her, and he starts going to look for her, you know. And one day, you're not supposed to go in the Special Forces tent, but she does. But he does. And she's in there with them, and they're, she's bunked out with them. Not like sleeping with them, but, you know, part of the unit now.
Yeah.
And just sees, like, all these Vietnamese ears that they've cut off their enemies. And, like, it's just, like, they're eating the Vietnamese people. Just, like, crazy, just terrible thing.
All right, all right.
So he realizes that he can't be part of it anymore. So he goes back to his camp.
Do it for my boy.
And he just watches her progress and become more and more of this, like, crazy killer. Well, eventually she stops coming back with the Green Beret. She starts staying out there longer and longer and longer in the jungle because it's part of her now.
Okay.
And one day she doesn't come back at all. Uh-huh. And the Green Beret said that she just disappeared into the forest. And the idea is that she actually became the spirit of the Vietnamese war in the jungle, of innocence lost through the war. And now if you go there now, her spirit still is in the woods when you go. And you can still at night hear her laughing from the violence and the bloodshed that happened so long ago.
Does she eat the little Vietnamese children?
Is that not like going to say she doesn't.
That's their boogeyman in Vietnam.
The white blonde lady.
Yeah.
Not that far off.
Beware.
But I really like that legend. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. I did. Indeed.
I didn't.
I could take it or leave it.
It was okay. I've heard better legends. Cut out.
I can keep rolling. Anybody got anything?
Oh, no, I didn't actually prepare any topics because I'm a good for nothing.
Yeah.
So my sister's husband, mm-hmm. who again is just another person I call my brother. You can add all these extra suffixes and everything. Do but when people have been around brother? Your whole life, his name, he insisted I call him just Danger or McDanger.
Is
there
really
or something
a suffix?
Like I don't know.
Calling someone a brother?
Isn't it?
McDanger, that's a prefix.
Yeah.
McDonald. McDanger. Why McDanger, actually?
I don't know. I was asking if he was okay if I used his name tonight. And he was like, no, call me Danger. That's how he talks. In my head. He's one of those people that got really into Pokemon Go.
Okay. Still?
Mm. Yes.
Okay,
still
wow.
That's what I'm actually bringing up.
Woo! They have a huge still active user base. It's like 65 million people still.
He's hacked the game.
What does that mean?
I'm going to show you pictures, but he has essentially, he's gotten into the coding of the game. He set up tons of proxy accounts. He basically has it so that he has fake versions of himself all over the world, capturing Pokemon and taking over gyms at any given point. He has like 80 fake
he's like
versions
the
of himself.
Kingpin of Pokemon Go.
I took a picture of his computer screen that's running all these codes because he actually hacked it and actually has like programs running.
Yeah. Okay.
He had his degree in computer science. Mm-hmm. I want to show you the screen. It's like the Matrix.
That's very funny.
That's Pokemon Go. Let me see that. And I'm gonna send this picture to you so you can put it up under the description. You can
that's
put a link
the
to
advanced
it.
Version.
What is going on here?
Man, I just want to play blue version. Like I don't need to do that.
But what made me laugh today was he said because he came. I went and saw my sister after work, and he came home, and he came in hot. He was like, he was like business. And I was like, oh man, you had a bad day at work? He's like, no, I saw a car parked outside the Poke Gym downtown. Somebody's taking it. And so he gets on his phone, he looks, he's like, see, it's blue now.
He grabs a bat from the closet.
So he
gotta
hands me his
fix
phone.
Something real quick.
He hands me the phone, he's just like, wait here and watch this.
Watch.
He like does his like eyebrows. He goes, he clickety clacks on the computer. The screen becomes a fighting thing. He's like, I've got 8,000 proxies fighting for the gym.
Oh my God.
So what's awesome about this is you have to realize there's only two kinds of people still playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
There are the people like him that have just taken it to the next level and have
consumed their life.
Yeah. Who like have broken it entirely and have, you know, they could take down, they could either take down Iran's nuclear option or they could be really good at Pokemon Go. And they decide that Pokemon Go was what they wanted to devote their lives to. And then there's the 8-year-old on their parents' phone.
Yeah.
And I just love the idea that
anytime they're all getting dragged to the grocery store.
Yeah. And that's what this was.
Yeah.
You know, it was just that you're like, Mom, can I take this gym? I want to take a gym. Okay, fine. You know, she's starting early on the wine.
Don't waste too much battery, though.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. Don't tell Daddy about Uncle James who keeps texting me. They pull over and this little kid took the gym. He's like, I have a gym. I have purpose and meaning in my life. And here comes this 37-year-old man. Drives by. And you know they had like a samurai moment showdown where like he like looked out the window and this little kid was like, and he was like,
we'll see about this. I've met my match.
Wait until I get to my dungeon. Gets to his computer. Watch this kid. Just nukes him out of orbit.
It was fun while it lasted.
I'm glad the kid's learning that lesson, that there's nothing you can do that will ever matter. There's always somebody that's hacked the system that's going to take all your good things from you.
Yep.
I think that's important.
That's hilarious.
Ooh, boy.
Never try, because there's somebody cheating.
There's always someone better than
Trump will always win the election.
But does he have every Pokemon?
No, he's actually missing some.
There's some that are Pokemon specific master. To super obscure regions of the world.
Yeah.
That's kind of lame. I can't afford to just like go to Rome into the Colosseum.
What are you going
to
do, fly United? But seriously.
Well, I definitely can't afford that. Well, actually, I could if I got beaten up.
But for those of you listening who couldn't see the picture, obviously, I mean, I'm going to send it to Tom, so maybe he'll post a link to it. Mm-hmm. But maybe. It does look like The Matrix with like several different pictures. And I just picture, you know, I walk in and McDanger has these dark sunglasses on, the leather coat.
Wraparound shades, fingerless gloves.
He's like, I don't even see the numbers anymore. Just a Pikachu there, a Charmander there.
And little Billy taking a gym.
I'm going to empty his parents' bank account.
That'll show him.
They won't be able to afford their phones anymore.
He's going to buy me incense and whatever else you buy in Pokemon Go.
I've never loved anything enough to try that hard.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like, that goes beyond just like extra effort too. That's just like, that's next level, like life commitment.
I'm not knocking people that get that committed to things, but it's like a problem in my life. Cause like we live in an age of extremes. Mm-hmm. Like I have to meet new people all the time, and I'm always trying to find things in common to talk about. And I'm annoyed that nobody's just kind of into things anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I can't even at work be like, oh, I like to ride my bike sometimes, without them being like, I love biking. I love it. It's all I do. What kind of Michelin Flugen do you have? Is your bike chain McAllister or pure steel? Let's ride bikes until we die.
Okay.
He pulls off his shirt, bike tattoos everywhere. You're like, I like to pedal.
I just went to Walmart, man. Just picked up a bike off the rack. Yeah, hobbies have like advanced. Well, I mean, like in older generations, it seems that once you kind of come of age, you kind of outgrow like being that. Well, there's actually some exceptions to that. Like some people are like, I really like to collect baseball. Like I was just watching Better Call Saul. Baseball card guy.
Yep.
Like stuff like that's still around. But like it seems everybody has an intense hobby now. I don't know. At least one. So I kind of get what you're saying, where like some people can't just be like sort of into something. Yeah.
Should we do What Have We Learned?
No, Kendrick Lamar put out a new song.
Humble?
Humble. Kendrick Lamar. Dude, it's a banger.
Be humble.
I love the topic. I didn't love it the first time I heard it, but I've listened to it about 20 more times.
What is the topic?
It's okay. I mean...
Was the Sam, for people listening, I asked what the topic was, and Sam just stared into my soul for like 2 seconds, and then he was like, ah.
That's what happened. I saw you. I saw the real you, Corey.
Be humble.
Be humble.
Corey
just takes off all of his clothes and walks into the lake. I have been reborn.
He's seen the real me.
I am a fish. It'd be awesome if you like flipped up a watch and you're like, cover's blown, and like an alien ship came and picked you up. He knows.
The jig's up. All right, what's the topic? What's the song about? Tell me about the song, Sam.
The song... It's about a variety of topics. It jumps between several points of view, but some of the overriding themes are about how he's sick of all the fakeness in the industry. He talks about how he's sick of everything's fake. You know, you look in a magazine, the women are fake. They're airbrushed to look way more attractive than anybody ever could.
Nobody airbrushes me.
The hip-hop game. I know. Nobody ever makes me look better.
They just give me big, goofy eyes. Photoshop me onto a dog.
I was once paid to move to the left a little bit so I'd be out of a family's vacation picture.
What?
I'm kidding. It was a joke. You're like, tell me more.
Dude, you've got a lot of ridiculous stories. That easily could have happened. That wouldn't even be like one third of the most ridiculous thing you've ever said.
I just knocked my water bottle over. Sorry about that, everybody listening at home.
The whole show's ruined. Pack it in.
Oh, let's just delete this episode.
This is the greatest show of all time. Record a new one. And then Tom knocked over the water bottle.
Anyway, Kendrick.
But I just love the fact that he's releasing a song about being humble. When the hip-hop game is so much about bragging about how great you are and all the great excess things you have.
Here's how next level it is. He gets to take the high road, get up on his high horse, and call himself humble for calling everyone else out for being not humble.
Oh, totally. But I mean, like, I don't care, man. He deserves it. Absolutely, you're not wrong. Plus, just by doing it, he's like, I'm better than you.
Plus, they all, like, lit their head on fire for that one scene.
Oh, the cinematography is crazy. Just watch the video for the crazy images in it.
But, like, yeah. It's an interesting music video.
It's an artsy music video. But the reason why your little, at the beginning reminded me of it is because he makes weird sounds at the beginning of the rap.
Yeah.
That wasn't really worth bringing up.
I liked it.
It wasn't bad.
I enjoy Kendrick Lamar. Listen to his new song, his new album. It's just called Damn. And he released the album cover. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a picture of him that looks like he's almost mid-sneeze. It like, there's no effort in it. And I can't wait to see what that means for what the album message and everything is going to be. But I just love that he did that. Let me see if I can pull it up for you. Because I'm not exaggerating.
Buying time for Sam.
This is gonna
this episode sponsored by Flonase. If you're gonna take an album cover picture, yeah, it looks like he's about to go back and take a sneeze. Well,
that's just like default Microsoft Word font, red, all caps.
Biggest artist in the game right now.
Are they gonna release like a radio edited version that's just called Dang?
Fiddlesticks.
Figs. Period.
When I was going to try to be a comedian for a little while when I was in my early 20s. And one of my gimmicks, like my main gimmick that I had planned, because I didn't want to swear up on stage, was I was going to make up ridiculous fake swear words. Mm-hmm. So like I'd be like, "Are you fiddle snatching fiddle snatcher?" And then I realized that it wasn't funny.
And then give up on my
And
dreams.
I put that dream and I folded it up and I put it in a little box.
And I put the box deep down inside.
And I tied it to a chain, and it's now one of many things that bring me down every morning to make me hate myself.
One of those things that just flashes into your head right before you fall asleep.
And then one of my friends died in combat, and my bank account's empty, and what would you do? Your mom!
That's all. I really want to see if that's a thing, if I can find that on YouTube.
That'd be awesome if you could. I'd love to see it again.
Well, boys,
I think that's it.
What did we learn today?
I learned to never let Sam lock me in a closet. At least she had a cat.
Yeah.
She had some company.
Yeah.
Something. And if my wife is listening, she was only in my room because I hired her to clean it for an inspection I was having.
Of course.
Day.
Of course.
Of course, yeah. Just Consuela.
She wore 18 layers and was 96 years old.
I mean,
that's just more layers to take off. Who knows what you're into?
You start stripping away age and anything can happen.
Woo! All right.
Get some cryo sleep up in there and good to go.
You can strip away layers, but you can't strip away age.
I learned to never, under any circumstances, fly United from now on.
I mean, unless you want a nice settlement, then you can fly United.
Well, yeah. Or bring a mouth guard. That's what I learned. If you're going to fly United, bring a mouth guard.
Is a nose guard a thing? Wear like a face mask?
Just wear a hockey helmet. Bring protection. Wink.
He's saying put a condom over your head.
That'll do it.
And I learned that Putin has ruined the world for bald people.
Among other people?
Or alternatively... that the only thing that every suicidal person needs to be better is a good your mom joke.
It's true.
It'll pull you out of the deepest pits,
that can
man.
Heal deep cuts, deep wounds.
Or, alternatively...
Well, come on.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, this is like a triple play. Triple play of things you learn. All right.
This is a cool low-key episode. I hope everybody liked it.
Yeah, chill. Yeah, thanks again for listening. Your continued support is what keeps us going. That's a lie. We just do this for fun.
Yeah, literally.
We just do this because otherwise we would all just be sitting doing stuff.
The same thing, just without microphones.
Yep.
So, yeah. Tell your friends if you want to.
Yeah, come on. Spread the word. Like, there's 15 of you.
Do it.
You each know at least one person. And Dad. It can't be the same person.
Dad, come on.
You're letting us down here.
Come on, Dad. Tell the guys at work. You don't have to tell them I'm your son.
I don't care how you pitch it. Hey, listen to this idiot.
Funny. This guy sounds a lot like your son.
Who? I don't have a son.
I have no son.
I'm dying.
All right.
Yeah. So
thanks for listening.
Stay tuned for the next episode. Oh, we're going to officially try to upload every Tuesday morning. The first one on the new schedule went up today. This is a Tuesday at 8 a.m. And that's going to be the tentative plan from here on out. It all depends on when we can record because we're all, you know, busy doing our stuff.
Yep.
So that's still the plan, though. So you can expect a new episode every Tuesday morning, probably.
Unless we get punched by any airport security anytime soon.
Yeah, and then we're tied up in a lawsuit for the remainder of the year.
I mean, I don't think the doctor's going to be the one tied up in that lawsuit. I don't think he's going to hear anything. He's going to show up to court. He's going to get $40 million. And he's going to go home.
All right, thanks for listening. We're going to shut this down before it gets any worse.
End it all.
I think we're out. Bye.
Bye-bye.